with a sorrow on us and a grief on us. And it isn't necessarily from losing a loved one who died, but it can be from that. But there's some of us that are walking around that have a grief over losses that we've encountered of relationships and different things in our lives. And this grief has been pretty overwhelming. And so I just saw the Lord get this big bucket of glory and just throw it on us. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm just going to ask God to do that right now. Do that right now. Just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. He wants to turn your sorrow into joy this morning. He wants to just deliver you from all of that sorrow and that grief in just an instant. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ushiata sakasa kasata shaba sakapa kapasa. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it right now. There's been some of you that have suffered. Oh, there's some of you that have suffered. Thank you, Jesus. A lot lately. A lot. Just receive it. Just receive it. Receive it. Just receive. Just receive it. Just, it's easy. It's so easy. It's so easy to receive miracles from God. Just breathe them in. Breathe them in. Drink them in. Breathe them in. Just let God pour it all over you. Just let him pour it over you. Ah. Because I want to refresh you today. I want to refresh you. Ah. Ah. Let him refresh you. Ah. Ah. You especially. You especially. The Lord wants to just wash that all away. There's an exchange being made right now for our sorrows. He's taking our sorrows and he's exchanging them with his joy, with his peace. Just receive it. Just receive it. And everything that concerns you that brought this grief, he's taking it. He's going to fix those situations. Just receive back. Just receive back right now. That peace and that joy. Just receive it. Receive it. Ah. 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 It's so easy. Just drink it in. Drink it in. Drink in his peace. Drink in his glory. Drink it in. Ah. It's just, you see, like backpacks full of grief, issues that have concerned us and brought us sorrow. And he's giving them to his angels and telling them, get them out of here. Get them out of here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that your angels listen to you and they take our sorrows as you deliver us from them so we can't take them back. That's why he's having his angels take those things that concern us, those things that brought us such grief, so we don't just pick them back up when we leave the service. They're gone. They're gone. All the hurts and the wounds from the past, all the disappointments, all the failures, everything. The rejection. A lot of us have been rejected. Ah, just let them take it. Ah, they're so good. Feels so good. Feels so good. Feels so good. What a wonderful exchange right now. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, Kabasata. Ah. Peace that flows like a river. Peace that flows like a river. Just receive it. Just a river of peace. Just be washed in peace. Oh, thank you. No more torment. No more torment. No more torment. No more. Ah, thank you. Thank you. Let's just put our hands up for just a minute, up into the glory. Just put your hands up for a minute. Ah, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you. You know what the Lord's telling me, showing me? You cannot give what you haven't received. Oh, so he's giving you a double portion for yourself and for you to be able to give out to others, where you can help others be relieved, be relieved of their grief and of their sorrow. But first you got to be whole. First you got to be whole. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Receive it. Thank you, God. Flood us with joy unspeakable. Joy unspeakable. Fill us. Fill us. Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. You're going to leave this place different than you walked in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Lord. God is so good. God is so good. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I'm going to speak today. That song was from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news. He's anointed me to preach good news, and he's anointed you to preach good news. All of us. Jesus got up, and he delivered that scripture in a sermon, one of his first sermons, in the temple. He read it, and he said, today, the scripture has been fulfilled here in your midst. And the religious leaders got really angry, you know. But Jesus was saying, this is who I am. And today he's saying, and this is who you are. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you. And he has anointed you to go out and preach good news. Not mediocre news. Huh? We hear enough of that. We hear enough bad news on the news. CNN, Fox, whatever stations we're watching, listening to. But God's saying, today, I'm calling you to preach good news. Good news. And you can't preach good news if you don't know what the good news is. And if you haven't had some good things happening to you, how can you go out and preach those good things? I'm going to tell you something good that happened. I'll tell you a couple of good things that happened. Ooh. First, I'm going to read this scripture. God, you are so good. You are so wonderful. You are so glorious. You are so mighty. We are so awesome. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Now, this is Jesus. This is talking about Jesus. But this is also talking about us, because he's the firstborn of many sons and many daughters. Okay? And he said, follow me. The things I do, you're going to do, and greater. All right? So this applies to us as well. All right? He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Good news. Good news. Your God loves you. Look what God did for me. He's no respecter of persons. What he did for me, he'll do for you. Huh? So God's got to, what I think God is doing right now to his bride during this outpouring of glory is he's kind of remaking us a little bit, changing our countenance a bit so that people that see us outside of church will say, hey, what's up with you? I like what you got. I like what you got. This happened to us yesterday. Oh, God is so sovereign. We went out to lunch with the graduates yesterday for the volunteer class, and afterwards, Jack said to me, let's go check out this housing development because we're thinking about maybe downsizing. So he said, I want you to see what this place is like. So I said, sure. So we went and we saw an open house sign on one of the houses. So he said, well, we'll go check out this one. I said, all right, they have an open house. So we knocked on the door and this lady was in there and she owned the house and she was the realtor and she owned the house. And so we went in and showed us the house and I saw she had like a little grotto with a bunch of pictures of Jesus in it. I said, oh, you love Jesus, huh? And so she said, yeah. And so she said, are you Catholic? And I said, no. I said, but I was in the convent. I said, we're ministers. And she said, can you pray for me? Can you pray for my son? She stopped weeping. Yeah. God, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted. We went into that. We realized, and she said it, God sent you to me. God sent you here. Her son was accused of something he didn't do, went to court, his lawyer wasn't good, and he's getting sentenced. They found him guilty, and he's getting sentenced Wednesday. And her heart is broken. And as I prayed for her, God showed me she was selling her house to get money to help her son. And I told her, I said, God, you're selling your house. When I finished praying, I said, to get money, God, show me. She cried, yes, I am. I said, you're not going to need to. God's going to take care of your son. She hugged us. We spoke good news. We just brought faith to this woman. Okay? We encouraged this woman. God sent us there to lift her up. To lift her up. And she knew we weren't there for the house. She knew God sent us there for her. We were on assignment to go help her. She thanked us and thanked us and thanked us. So many hurting people behind closed doors. Hurting, wounded. Wounded people. And God can't send wounded people to help wounded people. So what he's doing in this hour, he's healing his bride. He's setting us free from all the wounds and the garbage that's gotten on us through life. We've been hurt. We've been mistreated. We've been abandoned. We've been neglected. We've been rejected. Is anybody in this room saying, not me? Nope. No, all of us have been through issues because we live in a world where Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, trying to devour whoever he can. And who does he use? The people around us. The devil manifests through people. And usually he will try to manifest through the people that are closest to us because that'll hurt worse. And he knows it. But this is a new hour. This is a new day. We're in the new season of the third day where God has got resurrection power coming on his bride, where he's just going to transform our lives. If we let him. If we let him. Huh? If we let him. If we're truly committed to him. If we've really laid down our lives. He told me that in order for there to be a resurrection, first there has to be a death. We have to die to ourselves. Not my will, your will be done. I'm not going to live my life the way I want to live it. I'm going to live it the way you want me to live it. He said, for those that have done that, they... Ken, that's the ticket we need to get into this new season. A death. We have to die to ourselves. Once we do that, we can come into the new season of the third day, the day where we have the resurrection power of Jesus to come on our lives, to change us. Because then God's going to take this multitude, this army that he's raising up. He's going to take us to go out and perform this word. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to go out and preach the good news. Where? Out over the walls. Some of us have got to minister in the church, but most of there's only one pulpit, usually one pastor preaching the message. So what's the rest of us? Gumdrops? No, the rest of us have got to go out and bring it out to the hurting world. I'll give you another example of what happened. It's been an awesome, awesome week. We went out after church last Sunday, met four people for lunch in Palm Coast, friends of Jack's. And we had never met two of the people. And so as we sat at lunch, I just was just, we had that one most wonderful service. I was covered in gold dust. I mean, I was just like trying to hold it together in the restaurant. Not be laughing. And it was wonderful. And so the woman sitting across from us, her name was Patty, and she said that her mom had suffered, she's 83, and suffering with Alzheimer's and dementia. And she's so upset for her mom. And so we just talked together and whatnot. So when we left the restaurant, we were standing outside Carrabba's, standing out where their chairs are and stuff at the entrance. And the Holy Spirit told me, pray for her mom. All right. So I said, I'm going to pray for your mother. She said, okay. And I had been giving her, testifying all the wonderful miracles we had testified about at church Sunday. And so she was like, okay. She was ready. And so I prayed for God to heal her mind. I forget exactly what I prayed, but just simple prayer. And as I finished praying, I felt this whoosh go right in front of me, like whoosh. I went, whoa. I know it's done. So then when I got home, and the woman was excited, she couldn't wait to call her mother. So then when I got home, I said, what was that, Lord? What was this whoosh that was so strong in front of me? He said, that was the angel that I have assigned to you to implement your prayers, went to go implement the prayer you just prayed. Cool? Sometimes God gives us a glimpse of what's going on. I was like, whoa, whoa. It wasn't a little whoosh. It was big. I know it was a big angel. It was big. This is the hour we're living in. This is the hour we're living in. We're living in an hour for miracles are going to be happening. And we've seen financial miracles. We've seen protection. And we've seen healing. Gladys, stage 4 cancer, healed. Healed. Totally healed. Just wonderful things, because God is good. God is good. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. So what's he saying? He's saying, before I can send you to bind up the brokenhearted, I want to heal your broken hearts. And some of us have had some broken hearts. And this is what we do. What do? We just get in the glory. That's all. Just get in the glory. And when we're in the glory, he just heals our broken hearts. We don't have to work at it. We don't have to think anything through. You just soak in it. You marinate it in the glory. Let him heal our broken hearts. And then when we can go out and we can be so close to the Lord that he can tell us what to pray, what to say, how to encourage people. The thought's just there. It just comes pouring out. Pouring out. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. You see this? Comfort all who mourn. We can mourn over lost relationships, mourn over our past, mourn over lost health, mourn over a lot of issues. He wants us to comfort those with the power of the Holy Spirit who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. All this week, the Lord's been talking to me about this scripture. And I got together with Pastor Donna to pray for her, and she wanted an impartation of what God's doing here. So I went to her house and did that, and I was sharing what God was showing me in this. And she said, oh, same thing, Isaiah 61. God's been talking to me all week about Isaiah 61. You know, the Holy Spirit is so wonderful. He confirms his word over and over to us. That this is me. This is what I'm speaking right now, right now. God wants to do wonderful miracles in this hour. He wants to relieve us of our sorrows and our griefs. He wants to make us whole so that we can be more effective and more useful in the kingdom. That we can be used by God to help people. God's all about helping people. That's what he's all about it. That's the heart of God. He wants prisoners set free. And what are the people that are behind bars? Yeah. But he wants prisoners that are prisoners of fear, prisoners of grief, set free, prisoners of sickness and disease. This is the day that God's been talking to me about all week. It's the day of vengeance. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He told me, he said, I'm a God who seeks vengeance. I'm like, you're a God who seeks vengeance? I had to wrap my head around it because I'm so focused on how merciful and compassionate and loving God is. I never see that aspect of God. So it jolted me that I had to change a little bit of my thinking here and see what God was saying to me. And he told me, he said, I'm like a beautiful, beautiful, exquisite diamond that's got loads of facets all over it. And he said, if you just focus on one facet of who I am, then you're not really representing me properly. And it reminded me of how Moses and Aaron misrepresented God. In Numbers 20, I'll just relate it without reading it. Moses was instructed by God. The people had risen up again against Moses in rebellion and didn't want to listen to him, wanted to go back to Egypt. They were thirsty. They needed drinks. They had no water. And so God told him, he said, go to the rock and speak to the rock, and water will come out of it. So Moses goes over, and he gives them a little bit of a lecture, and he hits the rock, whack, whack, two times. And water flowed out of the rock, and the people got their water. But God said to Moses, you will not leave my people. You and Aaron, both of them, cannot go into the promised land. You're not fit for service, is what he was saying. In Luke, it talks about those who have put their hands to the plow and looked back are not fit for service in the kingdom. And it's like they don't go to hell, but they're not fit for service. Moses did not go to hell. Moses didn't lose all he had, but he wasn't fit. And Aaron wasn't fit for service because they misrepresented who God was to the people. They made out like God was, rah, rah. He was representing God. Hit that rock, you rebellious people. But that wasn't who God was manifesting at that moment. At that moment, God wanted to show them mercy and love and compassion. Speak to the rock. Let my people see this facet of me. Let them see my mercy, my love, my compassion, my long-suffering. But Moses was just hooked up in the wrath. Oh, you see? And God's saying, in this hour, I want my people to know me, every facet of me, to know my spirit, so that when they go out to preach the good news, they know whether it's a word of wrath, a correction, or whether it's a word of love and patience. He also told me that there's many in this hour that have been proclaiming a word of wrath. And we've heard it. How many of you have heard, the United States deserves judgment, the United States is going to be destroyed? We've heard the word. We've heard the word. If you get your ears open, you'll hear it. They are misrepresenting God, because that's not what God's saying. Does God bring wrath? Yes, but that's not what he's doing right now. Right now, he's extending grace and mercy. Extending grace and mercy. So he wants us to know him so well that when we go out, we can represent him as he is. We can go and we can bring the compassion and the love of Jesus because we've just sat with compassion and love. Or if God has a firm word for someone, we'll be able to speak that word with love. With love. Because sometimes people need to hear the truth, and we got to speak the truth with love. And we do need to give a correction. Sometimes when we give a correction, we might think, this is bad. I'm so bad doing this. I shouldn't be doing it. No, this is another facet of God. And sometimes he has us bring a correction to people for their sake so that they don't get lost, to help them. Do you see? But if we don't know who God is, if we're not spending time with him, we're not able to see the different facets of God. I'm going to read what the Lord spoke to me about this because it was really, really powerful. And I don't want to miss any of it. This is what he said. Those who have been misrepresenting me, like Moses and Aaron did when he struck the rock, shall not be a significant part of this revival glory unless they repent. They're not fit for service. Okay, that's how important it is that we know what God's saying and we represent him properly. I want to be part of this revival glory. I don't want to miss out on it. Okay, I want to be right in the middle of it. To represent me as a God of judgment and not a God of mercy and love does great harm to my work on the earth. And that's what's happening right now. In a lot of sectors, you have to be really careful what you're listening to. Like a magnificent diamond carved to perfection, I am multifaceted and must be represented as such. All my facets must be demonstrated, not just my justice and judgment, nor just my love and mercy. Demonstrate all of me, proclaim who I am so that all will know me well. How are we going to know God well? Spend time with him. Get in the Word. Journal. Write down what he's saying to you. Yes, I am a patient, and I am patient and loving and full of tender mercy, and I am a God who turns the other cheek and does stand silent against my accusers. Wasn't that who Jesus was? And we could just say that's all God is, and we could just let people beat us up and keep turning the other cheek and just, this is who Jesus is, this is who God is, and I just got to let people mistreat me. He let people mistreat him. See? If we just stay stuck on that facet, that's not good. But I am also a God who swallows up my detractors and those who lead a rebellion against me. That was Korah's rebellion. That was another group that rebelled against Moses. And Moses is giving them directives and whatnot, and they're like, who are you? God talks to us too. Who are you to tell us and lead us out into this desert? So Korah started this big rebellion and got the people stirred up against Moses. So what does God do? He has them all stand. They had to put censers down filled with fire, and he had them all standing in front of their tents, and he told everybody, get away from Korah's tent, and the earthquake came and swallowed them all up. Killed them all. Like that. That's God. That's a facet of God. But you say, well, that's the Old Testament. What happened to King Herod when he was here he is, everybody's honoring him, they stop worshiping him and saying he's a god, and he didn't say, no, I'm not God, I'm just a servant of God. He accepted that praise, and instantly, it said suddenly, God sent an angel to him and struck him down, and his whole body began eaten with worms, and he died. Suddenly, boom, like that, in front of all the people. That's who God is. We got to know. Sometimes I think we relegate God to our little brains, and this is who God is. So gentle, so kind. Yes, he is gentle and kind, but he's also God. He's also Almighty God. he's also a God who does get angry against injustice, who takes vengeance on his enemies and our enemies. That's why he says, pray for your enemies. What did Jesus do as he hung on the cross? Father, forgive them, because he knows who his Father is. Don't hold the sin against them, Father. They don't know what they're doing, Father. Then what happens? Jesus dies. Instantly, God's got to show us who he is. What happens? Instantly, an earthquake. The rocks split open. The temple's torn from top to bottom. Lightning flashes all over the place. God says, I am God. Yes, I sent my son for this purpose, to suffer and die as a meek lamb. Yes, I am God in the meekness and the humility and the lowliness. But I am also God, mighty God. So much power was released at that moment that people that were dead in their graves, it says, got up and were resurrected and were walking around. And people saw people that had been dead for years walking around, came to life. That's God. That's God. I just feel like God's saying, I need you to expand your vision of who I am and not keep me. Last week we talked about let God get out of the box. And I think the box a lot of us put God in is this little box of God's my friend and everything's okay. And not God, you're awesome, you're mighty, you're majestic, you're all powerful. And we need to have a little bit of a fear of God. That's a holy thing. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? We don't have any fear. If we just treat God all casual, oh, hi God, yeah. People do that. We need to be in awe of God. We need to know who God is. We don't fool around with God. We don't play with our sin. There's another story I was reading about this week in the book of Daniel where Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, has this dream. In this dream, what God brings Daniel to him, and Daniel interprets it, what God is saying through this dream is that I'm going to cause you to be like a madman, out like an animal, cut down, and for 7 years, wandering, eating grass, if you don't repent. So Daniel told him, he said, listen, king, you need to repent. This is my suggestion, he says to the king. I suggest this. I suggest you renounce your attitude and repent and embrace a humble heart. This is what I suggest you do, O king. And it says 12 months went by, and guess what? King Nebuchadnezzar didn't take that sound advice to repent. He was warned in a dream. He was going to lose his mind, and he would be out prowling around for 7 years and lose his kingdom for that 7 years. And he's walking out on the top of his palace. Oh, I'm such a great king. I built all this by myself. I'm just so wonderful. He's all making all these declarations. What happens? Instantly, the dream's fulfilled. Loses his mind. It says his fingernails were like claws. His hair all over him like feathers. And he was a mess, and he ate grass for 7 years until God allowed sanity to be restored to him. He repented, and he was restored. That's God. That's God. God did that. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira? Huh? They lied to the Holy Spirit. They come to church. They sold their land. They could have said, oh, we gave 2/3 of it to you. We kept a third to ourselves. Okay. But they came in and said, it's all here. We give it all to you. First, the husband, Ananias. Holy Spirit strikes him dead. Sapphira comes in. They drag his body out. A little while later, Sapphira comes in. Is this all? And she's presenting it. Is this all the full price of the land? And she says, yes, it's the full price. Boom! Struck dead. Right at the temple. In the church. That's God. We need to be in awe of God. We need to not fool with sin. If God shows us, I think that in the midst of this glory, what happens is the great light shines upon the people. We have the glory of God now. And in the midst of the glory, the power of God is made manifest. It's awesome. Awesome. And God's healing people, delivering people. God is doing wonderful things. But in the midst of that glory, God's going to expose some things in us like he did with Daniel, with King Nebuchadnezzar. He'll expose some things to say, this is a bad attitude you have. You need to get rid of this attitude. And if we're like King Nebuchadnezzar, okay, I heard it, and just keep going on and doing the same old same thing, then the consequence is going to follow, because we're in a season of the glory. All this stuff I'm telling you about happened in the glory. King Herod, in the glory. Ananias and Sapphira, in the glory. Yes, the glory is a powerful time. It's an awesome time. It's a time where God is pouring out his love, pouring out his Holy Spirit, pouring out his presence in a magnified way. Magnified. Holy Spirit on steroids. Magnified. But also it's a time where God's going to start showing us, this is a bad attitude here, and it's going to stop you. You need to get rid of it. As some of us, we might have jealousy. We might have pride. We might have anger, resentment, bitterness, foul tempers, fear of people, fear of man. Different things. We all battle something different. Sometimes one thing, sometimes 20 things. And God will patiently take time with us and show us these things. But we need to do business with God. Say, God, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to gossip about these people anymore. I'm going to put a guard over my mouth. What happened to Miriam and Aaron? It says in Numbers 12, they were gossiping about Moses. Oh my, and this is in the glory. Here's the glory. Here's the tent. They're in the tent. And this big cloud comes down at the entrance of the tent. We go there. This big cloud comes down to the entrance of the tent. And God says, All right. Miriam and Aaron, Numbers 12, starting in verse 1. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't the Lord also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. So what's that? That's jealousy. They were jealous, brother and sister. This is his brothers and sisters. Didn't I say it's those closest to us a lot of times that the enemy uses? So here they are, jealous. Hasn't God spoken through us? Who does he think he is? God heard it. At once the Lord, now this is in the midst of the glory. So this is a fearful time we're in. This isn't just a casual Christianity time. This is a time where God's pouring out his glory. We need to be aware of what goes on in these seasons of the glory, that we can operate in great miracles and great power, but we also need to be right with God. Okay? He'll show us these things. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. That's the glory. Huh? Here he is. God shows up. Cool. They're thinking, this is nice. This is nice. When both of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. So here's the glory cloud comes to discipline Aaron and Moses. Why? He's taking vengeance on those that are attacking his servant Moses. Are we going to see God taking vengeance on those that have been attacking us? We're going to see that. We've been under attack, and God's showing me that he's going to take care of some stuff. So pray for your enemies. God takes vengeance on the head of our enemies. He does. And that's what he was doing. He's like, Moses is my friend. How dare you? How dare you do that to Moses? It's Donna Rigney version. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous, like snow. Aaron turned around toward her and saw that she had leprosy, and he said to Moses, please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away. So Moses cried out to the Lord, oh God, please heal her. So God allowed her to go outside the camp for 7 days, and the whole place had to wait, and then she was restored. No more leprosy. But that's God. That's God in the midst of the glory. And he might show us, listen, you need to take care of this. You need to take care of this. And we need to take care of those things. God was pretty tough on Miriam. She must have been the instigator of this gossip session. Huh? Because Aaron didn't get leprosy. It was the girl. Usually us women have a problem with the tongue more than the men. But Aaron went along with it. So God restored them completely. God restored them. They were faithful, and they served right alongside Moses until the time when Aaron and Moses hit the rock. Instead of speaking to it, Aaron was complicit in that, and right after that, Aaron died. God brought him to be with his forefathers. We got to know who God is. I think God wants us to get a bigger vision of him and just to not just have this attitude of, oh, I can do whatever I want. God's so loving and forgiving. We're in another season. We're in another time. We're in a new season, and we need to know what this season encompasses. And one of the things, the season is great miracles, healings, deliverance. Another part of it is persecution. During this time, we're going to be persecuted. The early church was persecuted. Whatever happened during the Acts is going to happen now. But we're also going to know it's a time when we're going to see the vengeance of God. It says it right here in Isaiah 61. We sang about it. It talks about it. This is the year of the vengeance of the Lord. This is the year of God's favor, but it's also the year where God takes vengeance on his enemy. Those that have given us a hard time, God's going to take vengeance on them. So I want to be in a position where I'm not one of the ones God's taking vengeance on, that if I've got anything that needs to be repented for, I'm going to repent for it fast. God puts a finger on something and says, watch this. Don't do this. Okay. I'm not going to be like King Nebuchadnezzar. This is what else he said to me. I am he who chastens my children with plagues. I must be represented in truth and not a fantasy for people to believe in and follow. Demonstrate and teach my children the fullness of who I am, that they will stand in awe of me. I am meek and gentle of heart, but I'm also mighty and fierce of spirit. When I enter a place, the earth quakes and lightnings flashes. Stars fall from the sky. All creation stands in attention at my command. That is truly who I am, daughter. Men must fear my majesty, my power, and respect my righteous decrees. That's what we need. What we're doing in this hour is that we need to not water down the gospel, not misrepresent God, not represent him as an angry, fierce God, and that he's going to pour judgment on us, unless he's telling us to say that, okay? Which is happening with a lot of false prophets in this hour. I'm not saying judgment's falling on the United States. I'm saying this is the hour we're in, and this is what God's been talking to me about this week, that we need to get along with God. And if we've got a little bit of glitches here and there, attitudes that need to be straightened out, we need to get with God and say, God, show me. Show me. I want to be perfectly pleasing to you. I don't want to have anything in my life or in my heart that's going to cause you to turn your back on me. This is an hour where God is calling the church to be holy. That's the law of the temple, it says in Ezekiel. The law of the temple is holiness. What's holiness? Being set apart for God. Huh? Not letting the world come in and grab a hold of us. I heard a report of a worship service that went on in California, a big name ministry. They had this women's group there, a worship thing for women. And they had this man up who was the youth leader of the church, dressed like the naked cowboy with the guitar, just this underwear where you couldn't tell he had underwear on. It was covered with his guitar. At a church service. Big name thing. I'm like, what? What? And the women are screaming and hollering like, you know, a worldly concert. Does God want that? No. No, the church is called to be holy, to be set apart for God, to represent God. We've got to know God. We can't represent God as he's angry if he wants us to represent him as gentle and kind. Huh? That's what Moses did. Angry. God wasn't angry. Moses was angry. Moses was mad because they were giving him a hard time. But God wasn't at that moment. See? We got to know God. And we can't represent God as, oh, it's okay. Yeah, Daniel could have gone to King Nebuchadnezzar and said, oh, that dream's okay. It's okay. Yeah. He could have given him the wrong interpretation of the dream because afraid the king would kill him for the right interpretation. And he could have not told him the truth, but he did. He warned him. There's going to be times where God's going to stir in our heart and tell us. It was many years ago, we were ministering to a young couple, and they both got saved, but they were living together. They weren't married. And the Lord told me, you need to speak to them. They were newly saved like weeks. In the past, God's told me, leave them alone, I'll deal with it. But this time it was, you talk to them. I sat them down, told them, however the Lord directed me, you can't do this. You can't live together. You're going to need to get married. What? I said, yeah, you're going to need to get married. Show them scriptures, blah, blah, blah. And they did. They did. Fervently and passionately serve the Lord. There's going to be times. It doesn't mean you're going to, hey, listen, what do you think you're doing? Blah, 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 blah. No, let me show you about that. Because I don't want you to get the wrong idea that I'm saying we're going to be harsh. That is not what I'm saying. But we do need to speak the truth with love. We need to, but always with love, with kindness, because those are God's children. They're his sheep, and he loves them. Listen to this. In Ezekiel 34, woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds and clothe yourself with the wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. He goes on to say that he will be the shepherd of the sheep, of the flock. But that has always been an important scripture for me, that we're never to deal with people harshly or brutally. Do we need to speak the truth? Yes, but always with love. Always, only if we do things out of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Always with love. If we do it for any other motive, or sort of ripping mad at them, or whether they're some kind of a stupid person and they should know better, blah, 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 that's going to bear no fruit. That's going to bear no fruit. Always we do with love, but sometimes we do need to speak the truth to people because they're walking off a cliff and they're going to lose they're going to suffer in hell for all eternity. Do I have to speak the truth to the boys at Hastings? Yes, week after week. Tell them you got to stop your sin. You got to serve Jesus. You can't keep doing that. You can't be stealing. You can't be lying. You can't be swearing at the staff. You can't do that. We need to speak the truth with gentleness, with love. Never harsh or brutal. If you do in this hour, God can't use you. If you're harsh, if you're critical, if you're condemning, if you're mean to people, mean-spirited, God won't use you in this hour. I feel like God will chasten us if we do that. I feel like we're going to come under a slap from God, like King Nebuchadnezzar did. We need to have the heart of God. Whatever we're doing, always with love, always with love. Is this just when we're up in the pulpit? Oh, when we're out in the grocery store? No, this is in our homes with our loved ones, too. No harshness, no treating one another brutally. We're the shepherd in the house, huh? We're the shepherd in the house. Whether we're the father, the mother, the sister, the brother, we're always going to treat each other with love and kindness, truthful, representing God the way we're supposed to. Let's all stand. We're going to worship. Before we do, this is the time when we come forward. If we have an offering, we put it in the basket. If not, don't worry. And take communion back to your seats. We'll take communion together. But this is the time where we can say, God, come to the altar. I consecrate myself to you. I give you my life. I give you my tongue. I give you my mind. I give you my heart. If there's anything in me that is not pleasing to you, God, please shine a light on it with this glory. Expose it, because your grace is right here for me. All I got to do is say, I won't do that anymore, God. Sorry. And God's grace will help us not to do that thing. That's the hour we're living in. But we need to humble ourselves and say, you know what, God? I've been wrong. I've been wrong about this, or I've been wrong about that. And I repent. We don't want to be like Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't say, I was wrong. I'm wrong. Or King Herod, I'm wrong. Or Ananias and Sapphira, I'm wrong. None of them said, I'm wrong. So we come to you today, Lord, and we ask that you give us the grace to be humble. If you, during this service, or even before this service, have been pointing a finger at something in our lives that we need to get rid of, that we need to repent of, I pray you would give us the grace to be humble before you, to admit it, and to receive your grace to change those things that need to change. I thank you for the hour we're living in, such a powerful hour, such an awesome time, great outpouring of your Spirit, great grace. I'm telling you, great grace. Holy Spirit showing me things we struggle with, whether it's a bad temper, whatever it's been that we've battled with for years and years and years. This is a time of great grace. We just need to say, I'm sorry, and the grace is there. And like that, those things are going to be lifted off of us, and we're going to be set free. This is the hour, whether it's depression, fear, worthlessness, we all battle something. This is the hour where he's come to set the oppressed free. That's us. Then we can go out and set the oppressed free. I thank you, God. I thank you for the grace right now, Lord Jesus. As we come before you and we lay these things at the altar, the grace to follow you, to be holy, to be set apart for you. I pray for the offering, that you bless every single one who so faithfully tithes and brings offerings to our ministry, Lord God. Bless them with such an abundance that they never know lack in their lives in any area. That your protection is upon them and the enemy cannot come in and steal one thing from them. Not a bobby pin. Nothing. We say this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's all, the worship team, come up.